We're back in Exodus. We're going to be in 13, Exodus 13, 17 through 22. Going back to old habits, right? What happens when we give our lives over to the Lord? Sometimes we'll fall back into old habits. We'll fall back into the stuff that we did beforehand because it is a habit. The new habits have not been forged yet, or they haven't taken hold because we haven't put our focus on, well, everything in my life's a wreck. Well, you know what? We're just working on one thing at a time. You know, maybe two things. Maybe God takes something out that knocks out three or four things that you're challenged from. But once we're that new creation, we start walking the path new. We don't go back to that old life. Now, they'll be drawing on that. We know that in Romans 6 and 7 that he goes, why am I doing what I do? I know I ought to be doing this, but I should be doing this other thing, but I'm still doing what I did before, knowing that righteousness and sin embodies. And, you know, like, again, this closet being an example of the blood being painted on the lintels and header and the sides of the door when these guys are heading out. Never to be in Egypt again. Never to be in bondage again. Never to go back again. They're moving forward. They're going out into the wilderness. They're going out into areas that look nothing like the last 200 to 400 years looked like, and specifically whatever the age of the people that were there. The smells will be the same. Everything will change. Everything in their life will change. That's with us. When our lives are given and surrendered over to the Lord, everything in our life changes. When I gave my life over to the Lord many years ago, you know, cassettes, 8-tracks, some of that stuff went flying out, you know, except for Genesis, which, you know, I thought had a biblical name. But I like the drummer, Phil Collins, so he was pretty good. But I threw everything out. Well, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. I still, you know, Stevie Ray, he gave his life to the Lord, you know. So yeah, he did about 3.5 years before he died. Anyway, threw all that music out. I didn't want it. Threw my books out. Didn't want them. Didn't burn them. You know, just got rid of them. You know, there was a Ouija board in my daughter's, somebody had given it to her for a gift, still in the package. I'm like, that one I did burn. I took it out and got rid of that thing. I mean, quick as all get out. But we'll go back to old habits if we're not watchful, if we're not mindful. You see, the Lord knows our intentions. He knows that we'll want to strive after him, hearing Peter say, oh God, Lord Jesus, I'll be with you. But he says, assuredly, I tell you, as the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. We have that intention. We have that desire. We have that bravado to be with him, but we'll turn back. And the Lord knows us about it. And just this little bitty section that we're going to be in, and then we got another little treat for you today. But You can see this happen. They're leaving. They have the jewels. They have all the metal. They have everything that they were to be given. Things that were given them were all sorts of livestock, cattle, and all of the above. And my title on this one shows a wilderness way. The title of the message today is, I didn't know that. Go ahead and say it. I didn't know that, right? I didn't know that. Father, your word, please. Please, Lord, your word. Pierce our hearts, prick our hearts, Father, and expand our minds as you see fitting in all mediums that you've given us to do that with. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Then it came to pass in 17 of 13. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. It was done. He was over it. 10 plagues and down and out. That God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. When we're embattled with something, you know, you have a fight or flight mentality. If the blood rushes to your chest, you're going to want to fight, your upper torso. If the blood rushes to your legs, you want to flight, you want to flee. Some of you, when there's a challenge facing you, you'll get a little dizzy or a little nauseous. You know why? The blood is leaving this upper area going, run, right? I get that way. I want to run. You know, I have to squeeze my legs and force the blood back up into my body to stay. You hear that with fighter pilots as well. You know, they're taught when they're flying that the G forces are so much that it'll black them out. All the blood has come out of their head. They have to force that back up into their upper torso. Same with these guys. He knew that they would run. They would see war and they say, if it's like this, I'm going to go back. You know, well, if I knew that I would have to give my life over to the Lord and there would be battles all day long, I don't know that I would do that. Well, the Holy Spirit will convict you on that, obviously. The thing is this, we'll get a little lazy, and that's what would happen here. Instead of staying engaged with the Lord, we'll run back to what we see as whole and a warm and cozy spot. That's not where he wants us to be. And he knows that about us. That's the key thing, is he knows that about us. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness, of the Red Sea, that the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks. And what does yours say? Out of the land of Egypt. So are they in Egypt after this? Say no. No. Okay, one, two, three. Can I get seven? No, right? They're out. They're out. But then this next little part goes into it, and we'll open this other stuff up later. But this next part is a promise that was given quite a few years ago. In Genesis 50, I think we'll have it on the screen for you. Genesis 50, 22 through 26, it says this. We've got Joseph on deck. He's at the end of life. He's a buck 10 years old. Joseph dwelt or lived in Egypt. You know, that's all this started, right? Remember his brother sold him in when we were through Genesis? Sold him in and showed up there and he got everybody out so they could get fed and led. He and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years old. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. He was a great-great-grandpa. You know, I'm a great-grandfather. My oldest great-granddaughter is halfway old enough to have a baby. And in Texas, she'll be in junior high soon, you know. And down there, you may have a child, you know, early on. That's just, sometimes that's just the way it goes, right? But I can actually be a great-great-grandfather here if I live long enough to see those days. The children of Machir and the sons of Manasseh were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, he says, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you. Surely is a promise. Surely visit you. What he's talking about here is what we're reading over here. And bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my daddy. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin. Now we'll go into 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and he will carry my bones up out of here with you. So they took the journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as they go by day and night, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You know, you're in that desert. That desert's hot. You know, you're looking at a buck 40. You're looking at a buck 30, a buck 20 degrees during the day and 50 at night, maybe even as low as 30 at night. You know, they've got that cloud cover to cover them, to shade them. He's got AC in the day. He's got heater at night. Can you imagine for a minute how much shade would have to happen? Because it said a pillar of cloud by day. Well, if that's a pillar, you got to contain that and you put a case on it. That'd be a pillar case. Okay. So no, a pillar, but that'd be like a tornado. To me, that looks like a tornado, right? I don't know what that's what a pillar, unless it's just a solid thing. I don't know what that looks like, right? But he had that fire for 2 million people. Dude, just that alone would be fabulous to see. A pillar of fire, every single night, that cloud, that pillar of cloud, it would turn to fire every single night. And you would see that every single night. And you would see that shade by the day. They worked in Egypt. They worked in the sun. They baked bricks. Average person could make 1,000 bricks a day. We saw that in a video we ran not too long ago. Oh my gosh. that blistering heat is no more for them. That's the kind of shelter he shelters us. He brings, you know what, when we say Jesus is the light of the world, think about that flame and that light. Oh my gosh. It's not a fallacy. This is fact. You know that, you guys, you know that song that talks about, I hold up my Ebenezer, right? You guys remember what an Ebenezer is? It is that, that word means God has been faithful to this point or thus far or at this point. So now I have a bedrock to be faithful from then with him to see the next rock of remembrance. So an Ebenezer in a loose sense is a rock of remembrance. That pillar of fire, that cloud, that shadow, that is one heck of an Ebenezer. And then we talk about the Red Sea parting, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of information out there that can be off-putting, like black cats. Black cats are unlucky. Where did that come from? Well, the plagues. You know, they blamed it on the black cats. I've had black cats. I've never had bad luck, except when I made bad decisions. Don't break glass. You'll have 7 years of bad luck. They only did that because glass or the reflective device, it was very expensive, and they told that as a, created a superstition so they wouldn't break an expensive piece of glass. You know, don't walk under a ladder. It's unlucky. Only if somebody's up there dropping something on you. You know, it's just normal. I mean, those things kind of get kind of crazy, right? But there's some things that are spot on. You know, we know that Abraham Lincoln was the president. We know that George Washington was the first president, right? We know that. Why? Because history tells us so. You can walk outside and you can see that big ball of sun. Even on a cold day, you'll feel warmth 8 minutes later after it emitted light to you, right? We know that factually. We know that when you take in breath, you have oxygen. When you breathe it out, right? Your eyes blink, your heart works. We know those things work. Yeah, you know that Jesus died for your sins, for your sins, plural, historic today and the ones tomorrow. Our hope and goal is to not run back into the bondage. You know, many things can be misplaced in man's hand about the word. Many things can be misplaced or displaced. The word is not errant. Man's use of it or lack of a father bastardizing it is how we get into trouble with the word. The best minds that have taught other minds can also teach something that is chronically wrong, thus making generational error. You know, the Bible is never filled with falsehood. Can we show a picture or two up here? Do you guys know what that is? Huh? Huh? The Hell's Angels, the Devil's Tower? No, it's not that. It's over in the Middle East. It has the first three letters are sin. Sinai, right? That has nothing to do with allergies. This is what we were told where Moses spoke to God. This is where we were told where all this interaction at the tip, if we can go to the next map, please, at the tip where they said Mount Sinai is down here. You know, this is where all of this stuff we're fixing to go into, we've been told that. And you can see all these little patterns going on. This is where the officials, if you will, say that all this happened. Can I get the next slides in, or two? See, here's another one. Here, right on down here to Sinai. The other Sinai was way down here. They got this one up here. You know, and they've got all this zigzag pattern. Do we have another one? Another one here, and again, Mount Sinai, and this is where all the commercialism is. This is what we have been showed, right? Fine, that's all right. Mount Sinai, somebody called that Mount Sinai. Somebody said that's where Moses met God. That's Moses' place. He went up there for 40 years. I like this map because it's broader and more open. So the thing is this, we have seen historically with the films that we've run here, the DVDs that we've run for you. We've seen historically in the Bethlehem Star. Some of you that have been with us from the start have seen us run that at Christmas a time or two or three. And it's such a deep, deep documentary. And what's happened is you had a lawyer that wanted to find out what is up with the Nativity Star and brought in the science about it based on Kepler. Science that NASA still uses, and Kepler developed that mathematics to honor God back in 1600. And then we brought in a couple of years ago on Netflix, you can see it now, Patterns of Evidence is a documentary that shows you where the timelines fit and how they've even the director of movies, not necessarily an archaeologist or any of those kinds of guys, nor was the lawyer an astronomer. Neither one of these had background field experience experience in this field, and they brought some very compelling stories. Well, guess what? We've got another one of those today.